That's amazing. So our own hearts can fool us. And Ephesians 4:14 says this. And that's one thing about standing up here telling you these things. I know that you already know them, because that's why I call you Smyrna, Philadelphia and Smyrna Saints. But in Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There used to be what they call barkers. They get in their wagons in the olden days and they drive around and they sell you what they call snake oil. This was a cure-all that could cure everything. Didn't matter what it was, they had the remedy for it. And only if you allowed yourself to be deceived would you buy it. And of course, many people did. That's how they stayed in business. But you know, we have men like that these days too. They'll tell you anything. They have the cure for everything. Of course, you don't have to follow it. But if you do, and it's the wrong thing, you're going to be deceived. And where is that going to lead you? To a life of destruction, no doubt. That's again when he says, we walked according to the course of this world. But Hebrews 4:13 shows us someone who cannot be deceived. And only God can say this. All things are open and naked unto him, unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You can't outfox God. You can't deceive him. You can't fool him. He knows the whole part of it. So God already knows how we came to that conclusion. Whatever the conclusion was, he knows exactly how we got there. So Psalms 94:11 says, God already knows that conclusion. But Job 11:11 tells us that there is no need to investigate our decisions. I'm going to read that. It says, for he knoweth vain men, he seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? That word consider means to separate mentally. In other words, every decision that men makes, he considers it. He knows the process, the thought process that we go through, how we come to our conclusions. So we don't need to reason it out. And the reason why that's true, we find in Proverbs, the third chapter. The fifth verse, which says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. Well, how do you do that? Here it is. This is how you trust in the Lord. Learn this. You don't have to worry about or trying to figure it out. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust the Lord. So, 1 Samuel 2:3, it says this. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. So this thought occurs to me. God has perfect knowledge of all things. He has no need to learn anything, has not forgotten anything, never needs to find out anything. never needs to learn gradually. You know, when we say, my mother used to say there, or my daddy used to say this. He doesn't have to do that. He knows potential. He knows every potential thing that might happen. He knows everything that man has yet to discover. His knowledge is absolute, unacquired, perfect knowledge, perfect understanding, perfect wisdom in how to apply that knowledge. He is the God of knowledge. Psalms 147:5 tells us that his understanding is infinite. So, well, Paul even spoke about it. And this is one that everybody's familiar with. This is in the 11th chapter. I'm looking through these scriptures. As I'm turning these pages, it never leaves my mind that you already know everywhere I'm going. But 11:33 says this, of the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In other words, he has limitless knowledge. No wonder Isaiah 54:17 says that no weapon formed against us can prosper. He knows all about it. And if God be for us, who can be against us? He already knows about it. So what does God's omniscience mean to me? Well, let's go back to the beginning, kind of figure that out. To the 50th chapter of Genesis. Once again, it's a verse that everyone's familiar with. Verse 20. He says, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass. Sounds kind of like Romans 8:28, doesn't it? As it is this day to save much people alive. So as far as my enemies or even myself is concerned, God means it for good. And he tells us about that in Philippians 3:14. This is his goal for us. He says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, a lot of times we say, well, I'd love to do that, but I don't know how. I don't have the faith. I don't have the discipline. I don't have what it takes to do that. Well, he talks about that too. And he comments on that in the 138th Psalm in the 8th verse. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. In other words, he'll put in the work. He'll do it. Don't worry about it. Trust God. He'll do it. He'll put in the work. So the next way that we think about God is, and what he can do is his omnipotence. And that means all-powerful, in total control of himself and his creation. The Bible says, all things were made by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. That's in John 1:3, in case you want to know. That says all things, not some things, were made by him and without him. And I thought about that. I said, all things, does that mean the trial that I'm going through too? Does that mean the suffering that I'm going through too? Does it mean all things or some things? Is there something I can name that he doesn't have control of? No. All things, he has full control of them. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. That word consist, and that's Colossians 1:17. That word consist means to hold together. Whether it's the pews you're sitting in, whether it's you, whether it's the trial that you're in, He's in control of it. By him, all things consist or hold together. Now, if that's true, what do we have to worry about? He loves us, doesn't he? Will he ever let anything come our way that he cannot handle if he has hold of it? If by him all things consist? And we had a wonderful sermon our pastor bought this past week. And it's 2 Corinthians 12:9, he mentioned that, where it says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. I can't do that. I'm not strong enough. I'm not faithful enough. I can't walk with God. I can't please God. I can't. You know what he would say to that? Great. My strength is made perfect in your weakness or your I can't. He can. You trust him. Let him show himself mighty in your behalf. That's what he wants to do. And when you give up and realize that you cannot do it, that's when you trust the Lord. And that's where you'll find his strength. Every time, he will not fail. You know, we have also had recently a study in Genesis 27, and that's where Jacob stole Esau's blessing. The thing I like about that story most of all was Rebekah. She's the one that planned that whole thing. See, Isaac was getting ready to pass on. He said, well, Esau, go out and kill me some food, basically, and make this pottage, this food, and bring it to me so I can enjoy it. Well, Rebekah heard that. And for the sake of this story, let's call Rebekah Grace, because she is the mother of us all, right? So she tells Jacob, this is what your father told Esau to do, but I want you to do it. You go get a couple of kids, bring it to me, and I'll fix that meal that he wants. And so Jacob said, I can't do that. He knows who I am. I don't sound like him. I don't look like him. Rebecca says, don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. I've got that covered. So he says he has the perfect excuse. I can't do it. But what does Rebecca do? She gets some skins, some hairy skins, puts it on Jacob, and takes the meal that she has prepared and takes it in to Isaac. Isaac says, well, the voice is Jacob, but it feels like Esau. So, of course, he accepts it, and Jacob gets the blessing. Rebekah knew that he was getting ready to bless Esau. So instead of that, she said, I want the blessing to go to Jacob. So I guess you would say he stole the blessing. But look what came out of that. Look at the line. Look at the lineage of Jacob. Grace had control of it all. And doesn't he have control of everything that you're going through too? Once again, as we said at the beginning, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Grace takes care of it all. Trust God. There is not an excuse that you're going to come up with that's going to be greater than God's grace. He has control of it all. You see, God doesn't think like a man. He tells us that. Again, it's one of those scriptures that everybody knows. And that is found in Isaiah 55. I love this. This is so encouraging to me. 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Jacob thought the perfect thought. Well, I can't get away with this. How many times have you thought, I can't do this? This is against me. I can never pull this off. But once again, his thoughts are greater than your thoughts. He'll work it out. Trust him. That's all he asks you to do. Trust him. His thoughts are higher than your thoughts. His ways better than your ways. Matter of fact, he's able to predict the future. Isaiah 46:10 says this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Don't you just love that? I do. He can't be stopped. Once he has a plan, once he has said it, that's it. There is no changing. There is no going back. There's no hindering it. And it hasn't even happened yet. He can predict the future. What's that we always see around here? God knows. Guess what? He really does know. So, you know, even if our hearts condemn us, our own minds, you know how we try to, I told you earlier, how our heart can deceive us. 1 John 3:20 says, God is even greater than our hearts. If our hearts condemn us, he's even able to overcome that. Imagine that. Our own hearts beating us down, telling us why we can't do this or that, when we know all we have to do is trust God. Well, he's able to even overcome that. Have faith in God. See, God knows the secrets of the heart. There are things that go on in our life that, or obviously in my life, that the only person that has to know about that and ever know about that is God. I won't tell you. And there are things that go on in your life you won't tell me. But he knows. He knows the secrets of your heart. Yeah, I know God is powerful, but what does that really have to do with me? Well, let's see. Everyone knows this. Philippians 1:6. Powerful. Being confident. I like that. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you know the question. Are you confident? Amen. Why not? This is God who loves us. And to continue on with that thought, let's go to Daniel. Fourth chapter. Remember all the stuff you used to do, and let me ask you what I'm turning here. Have you ever had a better time than the time you spend in the study of the Word of God? It's just, it tickles me. I enjoy it. Anyway, in Daniel, the fourth chapter, the 35th verse says this. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Of course not. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah 43:13. says this, "Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it, or who shall hinder it?" Think of the promises. I don't know if promises are dear to your heart. Everyone has certain promises that are dear to them. Who's going to stop him from fulfilling his promise to you? To you? To you? Who's going to hinder it? No one can stop it. Do you believe that? You should. Isaiah 14, 27. Says this, "For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" I could just say it like this. Who's going to stop God? And see, when I'm reading these scriptures or looking at them by myself, I always add in there, this is for me. Who's going to stop God's purpose for me? Do you think that way? So what is his plan for you? We hear a lot about the plan of God for us. We all know that God would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But do you really believe that? The last one is omnipresent. That's present in every situation. Romans 11:36, for of him all things are, of him, through him, and to him. Maybe I read that wrong. For some things are all things of him, through him, to him. That's not what it says. All things are of him, through him, to him. All things, that trial that you're going through, that boss that gave you a hard time, that person who seems to be against you, what is it that he is not in? He's in control of everything. It's of him. You want to blame somebody, don't blame that person or the situation. Blame him, because he did it. But why would he do something like that? He wants to grow us up. He wants to show his power in our behalf. So how does he do that? Put us in situations that we can't handle, so that only he can handle it. And he will, because he says it's of him and to him. Jeremiah 23, 24. People think they can get away with things. Well, God won't see this. I can do that. Well, he says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Saith the Lord." Proverbs 15:3 tells us the eyes of the Lord are everywhere. There's not any place that he can't see. His eyes see everything. Again, all things are open and naked unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God sees everything. How does that help me? How does that help me that God can see everything? Turn to the 46th Psalm if you'd like. And I got to read this. God seeing everything. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What does it mean to us that God is omnipresent? Everything. It means everything. If it was even possible for God to stop loving you, he would have never given Jesus for you. So in closing, if you want, go to the Song of Solomon. Fourth chapter, starting with the eighth verse. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse, with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. Let's go back and look at that. Lebanon means heart, salvation, starting point of it all. He says, let's come away from there. Why does he say that? He wants us to grow up. Let's go. Most of Christianity right now is stuck on salvation. They'll argue about that to their last breath. Most of it's wrong because they think they can lose their salvation. But that's all they know is salvation. He says, come on, I got more to show you. Let's go from there. Come away from there. That's Lebanon. Amana, that means fixed. Let's continue on, he says in Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In other words, let's continue on. It's not enough to just say, well, there's more. What more? Find out what more it means. Look for it. Search the scriptures. Shinar. That equals a coat of mail. When they went to battle, they had a coat of mail that covered the front and the back. Now, find that in Ephesians 6:11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Note one thing. It's God's armor, not yours. Put on the whole armor of God. Here it is, the whole armor of God. All you have to do is read about it and believe it. Lastly, he says, lion's den, mountains of the leopards. So I would ask you, who or what is holding you back? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So I say, let's run to win. We don't have any excuses. Let's run to win. The lot has been cast into your lap. Have you learned yet that the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord? I hope I've done you some good. Love you, saints.